A Reasonable Conclusion, a Tony Bruce fanfic written by the Brat Queen and read by Cyrano II. It took a week for Bruce to ask to see Tony's arc reactor. Not that Bruce wasn't curious. He was, as much as he admitted his emotions to himself, incredibly curious. It wasn't every day that he got the chance to learn about, let alone examine, a device that took absolutely everything science knew about harnessing and using energy and turning it on its ear. Bruce would be completely and utterly lying if he'd said that he hadn't been interested in doing a deep dive into what made the arc reactor tick. What stopped him was that the arc reactor was attached to Tony. Not that Bruce had a problem with Tony. He suspected he might be one of the very few who didn't have a problem with Tony, which put Bruce on a short list with Tony's bodyguard, Jarvis, and Pepper when she had patience enough to be especially forgiving. No. Tony was fine. Talking to Tony about science was fine. It just felt a little bit strange to combine the two and ask to see the incredible scientific innovation that happened to reside inside of Tony's chest. Sure, there were other arc reactors to look at, the ones powering the suits, for example. But Bruce had just enough of a medical background to have an itch that could only be scratched by finding out how Tony had taken the device and merged it with his own body. So, Bruce asked. Finally. After a week of working and staying with Tony at Stark Tower. Bruce figured a week meant that either they were comfortable enough around each other that the question wouldn't seem intrusive, or that any discomfort would be a sign that Bruce had overstayed his welcome and it was time for him to leave. Of course, Bruce hadn't considered a third option, which was that Tony's standard for what was and wasn't appropriate bore little resemblance to those of, say, anyone else on the planet. In hindsight, Bruce had to admit that that should have been more obvious to him. Sure, Tony said, in response to Bruce's question. And though it hadn't been this direct, Bruce couldn't even think of being that direct, Tony immediately pulled off his shirt and tank top and hopped up on Bruce's lab table. Bruce stared at Tony's bare chest. He'd asked if Tony would mind maybe someday giving him an overview of the reactor. He hadn't intended it to be now, honestly. He also hadn't intended it to be a request for Tony to get shirtless. Then again, it was Tony. There were probably a lot of things that he interpreted as a request to get shirtless. So? Tony said, drawing the word out into what Bruce realized had been a long silence. Am I explaining anything, or did you want to stand and stare? Explain. Bruce covered up the awkward pause by looking for his glasses. They turned out to be next to Tony's left thigh. Bruce hoped that was because Tony had been nice enough not to deliberately sit on them. Sorry, just whatever you're comfortable with. I'm not trying to pry. It's only... science. I know, I get it. Tony grinned at him, waggling his eyebrows at the word science in the same way he might had he said the word strippers. Not that he'd ever said the word strippers around Bruce, but Bruce felt safe with the conjecture all the same. Right, so I told you the beginning. Kidnapped, explosion, shrapnel near the ticker, blah, blah. Tony waved all of that off as though it were boring. Woke up with the first electromagnet in my chest. That one was powered by a car battery. Bruce tried to imagine what that must have been like. There would have been wires. Bruce could pool his knowledge together to come up with where they would have been attached to Tony to provide the power needed to keep the shrapnel from reaching Tony's heart. There was nothing about it which sounded appealing. Fun. Oh yeah, two thumbs up. You should see the review I wrote for TripAdvisor. Tony mimed the two thumbs up part and then kept talking. The guy who set me up, that was Dr. Yinsen. I'm telling you, you would have loved this guy, Bruce. Medical knowledge, engineering, freaking genius. The two of you would have been drinking buddies in like 5 minutes flat. Probably less. I've read some of his papers, Bruce said, after taking a moment to confirm that the bell rung by Yinsen's name hadn't been because he'd heard Tony mention him before. Something flickered in Tony's eyes. Of course you have. Bruce couldn't tell if that had been a compliment or an insult, or some strange combination of the two. He figured the safest bet was to ignore it. He helped you with the first reactor.
That and the suit, Tony confirmed.
I took the concept of the arc reactor which powered Stark Industries and figured out how to miniaturize it to power the electromagnet keeping me alive, and the first version of the Iron Man suit. Jensen helped me out with all of that. Bruce knew that the death of the man he'd shared captivity with was a tender spot for Tony. He gave careful consideration to his words before he said, You created the first Iron Man suit and a miniaturized arc reactor in a cave in the middle of Afghanistan, using nothing but spare parts, and Jensen helped you do it.
You're right. I would have loved this guy.
Based on the smile Tony gave him, that had been the absolute right thing to say. Perfect, even. Bruce felt better knowing that not only had he said it, but that it was true.
Yes, exactly!
Tony pointed at Bruce as though he were a game show host awarding him a prize. Now, brilliant as that was, as, let's face it, all my creations are, it wasn't enough to give full power to the suit, not with all the useful stuff like weapons, flight capability, espresso maker, and so on. So I had the next version of the reactor which powered me and the suits off of the same palladium core. Bruce had been following along with all of that. Yes, of course, Tony would need more power for the flight capability, and had even started calculations in his head to figure out the amount of energy needed to combat the G-forces when a word struck to him.
Palladium? That would have killed you.
There was that flicker in Tony's eyes again, but his more obvious response was a dismissive snort.
Sure, Doc, say that now. Where were you at the time,
And don't say, Kolkata, that's your excuse for everything, and I'm already tired of it.
Bruce sensed that there was delicate ground here, and he wanted to tread carefully.
Actually, my excuse for everything is that I turn into a giant green rage monster.
That had not been careful. That had been the exact opposite of careful, and was, in fact, rude and joking about something that shouldn't be joked about. And yet he'd said it anyway. Bruce wondered if he could blame Tony for being a bad influence. Though if he was honest, he'd admit that the sense of humor was entirely his own. Tony just encouraged him to use it.
Which was an influence, certainly.
Yeah, well, I'm getting tired of that excuse, too, Tony said. Change the record, because it's getting old. Also, your taste in music sucks.
Your arc reactor?
Bruce prompted him, before Tony could chatter his way too far off course.
My arc reactor.
Tony straightened his shoulders so that the device in his chest was front and center.
Having discovered what you could have told me if you'd been here and not willingly hiding yourself under a rock, I had to come up with a new element for the core. Cut to some experimentation, some posthumous help from dear old dad, one new particle accelerator built in my garage, and ta-da! A brand new element for this, and every other arc reactor, which will change the face of clean injury as we... Wait, why am I explaining the awesomeness of this when there are others who could do it for me? Jarvis, cue up the news reports on...
I don't want to see news reports, Bruce said. He couldn't take his eyes off of the glowing circle in Tony's chest. The words, new element, floated around in Bruce's mind, along with concepts like Tony's building a particle accelerator in his garage and treating it like it was no big deal. Because to Tony, it wasn't.
The real thing is more than enough, honestly.
Well, there it is.
Tony gestured towards his chest.
One of the many pinnacles of Stark technology. Not sure what my next trick will be. Maybe a popcorn popper that doesn't leave the little kernels at the...
Can I touch it? The question was asked before Bruce realized what words his lips were forming. He didn't do this. Normally, he didn't touch things. Not things connected to people, anyway. There was too much of a risk. He trained himself to be extremely careful about where his hands were at all times. But he realized that one of his hands was already halfway to Tony's chest, its progress halted by whatever instinct had allowed Bruce's mind to scramble to catch up and ask permission.
What? Sure. Yes, absolutely.
Tony braced his hands on the table to leave his torso free and clear.
Me arc reactor, S2 arc reactor. Go crazy.
Gracias, Bruce replied, because sometimes it was fun to meet Tony halfway on things.
Bruce adjusted his glasses and leaned in to get a proper look. He let his hand resume its former progress to skim lightly, gently, fingertips only, along the reactor's smooth cover. Bruce thought about how it was a remarkable bit of engineering, that as much damage as was done to the suits and Tony in them, and as much damage as Tony did to himself with the suits or not, that there wasn't even a scratch along the surface. Even as Bruce let his fingers slowly move from the top of the reactor circle to the bottom, it felt fine, almost pleasant to the touch. Of course, that only made sense. Tony wouldn't design anything that wasn't, in his opinion, perfect in every way. Naturally, the thing inside of his own body, the thing keeping him alive, would have every detail taken care of, from the core to the surface. And oh, what a core! Moving closer, Bruce could see past the lights to the parts of the reactor itself. He thought about that new element, right in front of his eyes. Not visible to his eyes, of course, but still. And how Tony had managed to create it, and the fusion power generating the device that was small enough to fit in Tony's chest, yet strong enough to power the suits, and so much more. Of course the suits had their own arc reactors now. Bruce was glad about that. He thought about mentioning it to Tony, how it was good that Tony was letting himself have his own reactor, no sharing, and therefore less danger of it going off or being damaged, and Tony getting hurt in the process. Bruce didn't know if maybe he should say something like that, if Tony would even listen to him. Or if that was the thing to ask now, instead of the dozens of questions forming in Bruce's mind about the specifics of the reactor's working. Some of which Bruce was able to answer himself as he continued his examination. Others he could put on a list so he could ask Tony the right questions, to prove that he was giving Tony the best of his intelligence and attention in return for Tony letting him look like this. And then there were other questions entirely. "Are you humming the national anthem?" Bruce asked, after he realized the sounds he was hearing weren't coming from the reactor, or the lab, or any of Tony's collections of robots of various intelligences. "Yep," Tony replied. He scratched his neck absently, but didn't otherwise change his position. Bruce told himself he didn't want to know, and yet he still asked, "Why?" "I'm finding it really useful to think about Steve right now." Then, before Bruce could ask another question he was sure he didn't want the answer to, Tony hopefully continued, "Well, to be fair, it doesn't have to be Steve, much though he has the whole trapped-in-ice imagery going on for him. Could be Barton, could be Fury, but the only song that comes to mind for Fury is the theme from Shaft, and let's face it, that doesn't exactly take a guy's mind off sex." Bruce told himself to shut up. He told himself this was Tony being Tony, and not to engage. "Sex?" Tony gave him an "oh, please" look. "Yeah, hello. The last time I had anyone anywhere near as smart as you, this close up and personal to me, was the last time I jacked it, so, lunch. Though I was thinking of you the whole time, well, not you exactly, sometimes it was you, sometimes it was your notes, which I realize counts as you, but it's different enough I figured it's gotta be worth a mention." "You took a long lunch," Bruce said, reminding himself more than anything. He frowned at Tony. "My notes? I only read them for the articles, I swear," Tony replied without missing a blink. "And if we're being technical, I took a long shower, but I feel that's quibbling about unimportant details." Bruce glanced toward the workspace he'd been using as his desk. "You took my notes into the shower?"
"Whoa, no!"
Tony held up his hands.
"What kind of an idiot do you take me for? That's sacred stuff. I thought about your notes in the shower. When I wasn't thinking of you. I wouldn't ruin your work by... Actually, if the shower was set up to display text and images, I could have your notes with me when I... Jarvis, start working on a setup for the shower so that I can read and look at things while I'm in there. Why haven't I thought of this before? I should have thought of this before. Clearly I've been distracted. I blame you."
It took Bruce a moment to realize Tony was talking to him again.
"How is this my fault?"
"I'm not saying fault, I'm saying distracting," Tony replied. "Which, BT dubs, if your thumb moves around the edge of my arc reactor one more time, I'm not going to be able to think of anything but me, you, a bed of some kind, and you yanking that thing in and out of my chest with precision timing that would make a breath play look like missionary position.
And if you're going to do that to my train of thought, you could at least take your shirt off.
Bruce's eyes went wide. He hadn't even realized that he hadn't taken his hands off of Tony's chest. He didn't do that. He didn't touch people in any way but purposefully. Yet there he was, covering the glow of Tony's arc reactor with his palm, while the tip of his thumb moved slowly back and forth along the edge.
Tony, I didn't...
Undo a couple buttons, then, Tony said.
We can start slow. I don't mind slow. The tease might drive me insane, but maybe that's your kink.
I don't have a kink, Bruce said, because he really, really so did not. His mind was swimming at the mere thought of what Tony suggested about them and timing and Christ.
This isn't a tease. Tony, I don't know what gave you the idea.
You asked me to take my shirt off?
I asked if I could see your arc reactor, Bruce replied. He knew that one for damn sure.
How exactly does that happen when I've got clothes on?
Tony arched his eyebrow up.
Really, I'm curious, because I know it makes one hell of a nightlight, even with a couple of t-shirts on, but if you want to see how it works...
I did.
Then that is not happening with fiber in the way.
Tony finished, as though Bruce's interjection had merely been to agree with him.
You tell me to take my shirt off.
Ask. I asked.
So now you admit you asked me to take my shirt off.
To see your arc reactor.
Which you then asked to touch, and now you're doing something with your palm which, do not get me wrong, I in no way think you should stop, because it's causing fascinating reactions at the base of my spine, Tony said, and Bruce started to realize that maybe Tony wasn't breathing hard because of the air he needed to get all those words out of his mouth. And what else is a guy supposed to think?
Anything, Bruce offered, though he noticed he still hadn't removed his hand from Tony's chest, and that, as Tony had pointed out, the heel of his hand was now rubbing semicircles in the space where Tony's skin met the bottom of the arc reactor.
Anything at all? Science? Professional curiosity? Anything that isn't sex?
Tony screwed his face up as though he needed to think hard to translate what Bruce had just told him.
I'm not seeing how science and professional curiosity means it can't be sex.
Try, Bruce suggested.
In fact,
Tony continued, as though Bruce hadn't spoken at all,
I'd say that would make the sex better, since it's taking at least three of my favorite things and putting them into one. Four, if we count you as one of my favorite things, and now I'm thinking about you talking science to me while we're in bed, and I have to say it's not exactly a turnoff.
That's not happening, Bruce told him.
Well, duh,
Tony rolled his eyes.
We're still at the stage where I'm trying to get you to unbutton your shirt. Just one, for me. Doesn't even have to be the top. Dealer's choice, surprise me.
Tony. Bruce pressed his hand deliberately against Tony's chest, trying to get Tony to focus on him. He could feel the thud of Tony's heartbeat under his fingers. Or maybe it was his own pulse that had become more noticeable. Maybe both. Regardless, it was all the more reason to put a stop to things.
I don't know if this is you having fun.
Not yet, I'm not.
Or making a joke, Bruce amended. But whatever it is, stop. It isn't funny.
I'm not trying to be funny.
Tony squinted at him, studying Bruce's face. Do you... Bruce, I am being the exact opposite of funny. I want you so bad that if you were anybody else, I'd have had you up against the wall or on the floor by now. But I know you've got this thing about touching, so much as parts of me were turning what I am sure is an attractive shade of blue, I'm holding off.
It was Bruce's turn to frown in confusion.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am, Tony replied. He looked Bruce right in the eye, which made Bruce feel like he should look away. It seemed too much, somehow.
Tony!
Bruce tried for a laugh, as though this was just one of Tony's jokes after all.
Come on, you could have anybody you wanted.
I could, Tony agreed. Now let that tidbit of information sink into that genius brain of yours as I sit here, about 2 seconds away from begging you for it. And so we're clear? If that involves being on my knees, we can make that happen. I promise there's not much in bed you wouldn't find me willing to do, or that I am not phenomenally good at. You don't have to take my word for it on that last part. By the way, I can give you references, or I could show you, if you would just let me, Bruce. Bruce didn't care for the feeling he got at the thought of Tony's references. Granted, it was but one of many feelings that were swirling around him, and were only getting worse the more Tony tried to put ideas into his head. But Bruce couldn't shake the one feeling which went down to his very core, and had been there for years. No. It can't happen. Give me one good reason why, Tony replied. Bruce shot Tony his own, are you kidding me? Look. Because I turn into a giant green rage monster? Then it works out nicely that nothing I want to do to your testicles involves a cattle prod, Tony retorted. Bruce, come on. You're not even anywhere near a hint of green right now. You're not angry, you're, I don't know, nervous or something? Don't be. Stop being the guy who thinks he has to do. Do you not get how hot I find you? Because I'm reasonably certain I passed being subtle about that like 1,000 years ago. Bruce watched as Tony started to reach out for him, and then stopped himself. Stopped, because he knew Bruce had a thing about being touched. You are hot, Bruce, Tony said, perhaps taking Bruce's silence as encouragement to continue. Or perhaps he would have continued, even if Bruce had shouted. Your brain is the most amazing. I get hard just thinking about how smart you are. Though don't get me wrong, your body is nothing to complain about either. I mean, I wouldn't hate seeing you in clothes that even sort of fit you properly, but I'm willing to put that way down on the wish list of items that include seeing you with no clothes whatsoever. Also on that list, for the record, are about 1,000,000 things I'd like to do with your mouth, or have your mouth do to me, and again, I'm not picky about who gets firsties on that scale. When Bruce didn't say anything, Tony kept going. I'm not saying we have to go right to that if you're not ready. Much as I'd love, and have frequently thought of, the two of us going at it against this very table, I'm not saying it has to be the first step. We could do other things. Lots of other things. Big, small, and you... You do like this, right? I didn't wildly miscalculate your love of cutting-edge lab equipment and possible admiration for my own brilliance. Because normally I wouldn't use the arc reactor as an opening move, but you did ask, and I thought maybe... Tony, Bruce said, interjecting with a quiet murmur. Tony's teeth clicked together as he snapped his mouth shut. He looked at Bruce expectantly. When nothing was forthcoming, he asked, What? This is a bad idea, Bruce told him. Then he kissed Tony anyway.
With you at night, it's a little one-sided, but that's all right. I tell you in the kitchen.